Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel, and it is a joy to open God's Word and to find His good word for us today. All of God's Word is for our instruction, for our edification, which is simply a fancy word meaning to build up, to help us to grow, and to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we'll be continuing with our series of messages concerning Jesus and who is He, asking the question, is He really who He claimed to be? We have been dealing with this for quite some time. We've seen the witness of God Himself back in Genesis chapter 3 of the coming of Jesus Christ as the Son of Woman, the seed of woman. We've seen the witness of the prophets. All of the Old Testament points to the coming of Jesus. We've heard the witness of angels to His coming, to His conception, to His birth, the announcing of His birth. We've heard the witness of Anna, the prophetess, in the temple when Jesus was taken to be circumcised. We've heard the witness of Simeon, the prophet there in the temple. We've heard the witness of Mary in the Annunciation. We've heard the witness of John the Baptist and others who proclaimed Him. We've heard the witness of Jesus Himself throughout the Gospel of John and throughout the Gospels. And now we're at the point of hearing the witness of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Jesus Himself, speaking of the Spirit in John chapter 16, verses 7 and following, said this, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in Me, and concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer behold Me, and concerning judgment because the ruler of the world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall testify of Me, He shall glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine, and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine, and will disclose it to you." Now this scripture here in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15, is the largest single message we have concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. There are other areas, of course, that speak of the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, when we get into the book of Acts, which is soon to follow, we find that the Holy Spirit is at work in the believers. Of course, we see Acts beginning with the coming of the Holy Spirit at what we call Pentecost. So we're going to look today at how the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus, bears witness of Jesus, and again testifies to us as to who Jesus really is, the Savior of the world. Jesus Himself said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." The Holy Spirit is with us today as believers and in us today as believers. The Holy Spirit is the seal upon our lives as believers. God the Father placed the seal of the Holy Spirit in our lives and on our lives as evidence that we are children of God. That seal is a permanent seal. That seal is something that no one can break. So when we're saved, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are born into the family of God, the seal of the Holy Spirit is placed upon our lives, and we are therefore permanently children of God. So the work of the Holy Spirit is important. We live now in what we call the age of grace, the grace of God our Father, and I'm so grateful that we live in the age of grace, not back under the law, for example. We're no longer under the law, although some seem to act like we are. You know, the whole book of Galatians was written to the church at Galatia by the Apostle Paul to talk to them about their sliding back into the law. Paul says, you started out well. He said, who deceived you? Who beseeched you? Who got you off track? Who convinced you to go back under the law that you have been set free from by the blood of Jesus, by the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross of Calvary? So we're not under the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't destroy it. He came to fulfill it. He completed it by paying sin's debt for you and me upon the cross of Calvary. Remember, Hebrews chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10 give us testimony that Jesus paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, in order that whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. The word says that as many as believe on him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. Now, the power is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is defined in God's word as the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Now, we live in the age of grace, in the age of the church, or we can say also the age of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus Christ and sent by the Father, and we have evidence of that in Acts chapter 2 when we read about Pentecost, the birth of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell the believer of Jesus Christ. Now, remember that up until this time, the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the apostles who were following him, were not filled with the Holy Spirit in a permanent sense. That happened when the Holy Spirit came to the earth at Pentecost to remain with us, to remain with the church, in each believer, and to carry out the will of God upon this earth. The Holy Spirit is present here today. We live in the era of the Holy Spirit, in the period of the Holy Spirit. We live in the age of the church and in the age of grace. All of those terms are accurate, and all of those terms apply. And the Holy Spirit is here today upon this earth. He is in believers, and when a person is born into the family of God, you could really say that he is conceived as a new creation by the Holy Spirit. And we become a new creation in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's called regeneration, and it is the work, one of the works of the Holy Spirit, one of many of the works of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we read of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it's unmistakable, isn't it, that he came and empowered. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, and you shall receive power not many days from now when the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Verse 8 of chapter 1, Jesus is speaking, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now, there Jesus gives us the primary reason that the Holy Spirit comes to infill us, to empower us, to enable us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Remember when I read earlier in John chapter 16, Jesus said he will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. He will take of mine and give it to you. So the job of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus Christ, to bear witness of Jesus Christ, and to enable us to bear witness of Jesus Christ by being in us as the very power of God to enable us to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's take a few moments here to look at the many jobs of the Holy Spirit. It's not my purpose to go into these in great detail, but I want to to just mention them and give us an idea of the many jobs of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. First of all, He is a seal upon our lives as believers. He is the one who regenerates us. That's a job of the Holy Spirit, making of us a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, before that is done, He convicts us of our sin. So you might say that the first work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a human being, not yet a child of God, but just a normal human being that's born into the condition of sin, into the state of sin, we have to be transferred from that state of sin into the kingdom of righteousness, into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. When we are born again, that's what happens. God transfers us from this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of heaven, from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. God transfers us when we believe and trust and accept Jesus Christ. We are born again into the family of God. And it is the Holy Spirit that convicts us and draws us to God and to Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will speak of me. He will reveal me. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He reveals the Savior. He reveals Jesus to the unbeliever and enables the unbeliever to, first of all, see his condition of sin, his state of sin, and to see his need for a Savior, and to see Jesus as the Savior. The Holy Spirit enables that to happen in the life of the unbeliever. Now, when the unbeliever says, yes, I accept, yes, I receive Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit regenerates us. We're born into the kingdom of God, and we are made a part of the family of God. So that is the initial thing that must happen for every true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. When that happens, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, to live in us. In fact, according to John chapter 14, verse 23, the words of Jesus Himself, He said, I and the Father will come to you, and we will make our dwelling place, our permanent dwelling place, in you, and we shall be with you. So really, the Bible teaches us that we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwelling us as believers today. Jesus is head of the church, of which we are part of. We're part of the body, and Jesus is head of the body. He is Lord of the believer. He is my Lord today as a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first work of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin and of judgment, Jesus said in John chapter 16. And when we come to a realization of the judgment that awaits us as sinners, that brings us and drives us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. So the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit in the life of the unbeliever is to convict of sin, to bring to Jesus, to bring to the Savior, and then as we accept that and believe that, the Holy Spirit enters into the work of regeneration, bringing us into new life, into new birth, and into a new relationship, a new creation in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Holy Spirit convicts, and then when we believe and accept and trust Jesus Christ, He begins the work of regeneration in us. That is our birth into the family, our becoming part of the family of God. From that time forward, the Holy Spirit is to guide us, to lead us, to comfort us, to teach us, to reveal Jesus to us. In other words, to help us grow and to place us in a position for God the Father to shape us into the very image of Jesus Christ, which is God's goal for all true believers, to be finally conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit is the power of God, then, within us. The Holy Spirit never leaves us. Now, we can cut off the flow of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is to be filling us continually. Jesus said in John chapter 6 that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And it goes ahead to say that he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, which was yet to come, when he spoke those words in John chapter 6. Here in Acts chapter 2, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and comes to indwell the believer, comes to begin the age of grace, the age of the church, the age of the Holy Spirit. So God is manifested in us, and Jesus is manifested in us and to us by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Now, the Holy Spirit will forever be with us. You see, when he will be with us right on through the time we take our last breath, he will go with us, ushering us into the presence of God in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we will forever be with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We will never be without the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. As true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is set by God as the seal upon our lives, never to be removed. That's his claim of sonship. He is saying, "This is my son, this is my daughter." And the seal of the Holy Spirit on that life is proof of my ownership of that life, of my son, my daughter. Now, let's look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church, in the life of the believer, once we become part of the family of God. The gift of the Holy Spirit is from God. Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, I will ask the Father to send you another Comforter," and that Comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the very power of God in our lives, to manifest God the Father and to manifest Jesus the Son. Now let's remember the order of things here. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus. He said that in John chapter 16. It is the purpose of Jesus to reveal the Father. So Jesus reveals the Father, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the power of God in our lives as believers. Now, first of all, the Holy Spirit gives life. Jesus said, "The flesh profits little. It is the Spirit that gives life." Psalm 104, verse 30, speaks of the life of the Holy Spirit in us as believers. Now, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our revealer of Jesus Christ. John chapter 16, those verses that I read beginning with verse 7 a few moments ago. He is the power of God within our lives. He is our helper. He is our comforter. John 14 verse 6. He is our guide. Romans 8 verse 14. Now notice I'm not speaking of in detail of what it means to be our comforter, what it means to be our guide, but I'm simply looking at the various jobs of the Holy Spirit, the various roles played by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 4 and 5 say that those who are led by the Spirit do the things of the Spirit. And Romans 8, 14 says those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17 speak of the Holy Spirit in our lives bearing witness with our own human spirit that we are a child of God. This is, I think, the chief evidence in our lives. The chief witness to us that we're truly sons of God is the witness of the Holy Spirit to our spirit. Now notice that is spirit to spirit. That's not intelligence to intelligence necessary. That's not mind to mind. It is spirit to spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. We need to remember that. There's such an emphasis on intelligence and knowledge and learning in our Western culture that we tend to forget that there is a spiritual aspect to all of this. And that spiritual aspect runs deeper than the intelligence. The spiritual aspect encompasses the totality of you and me as individuals. We learn spiritual truths by our spirit. Spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. God is spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 4, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the spirit leads us, guides us, comforts us, teaches us, reveals Jesus to us, is the very power of God in our lives, bears witness that we are the sons and daughters of God, and leads us to do the things of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. The Holy Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and death, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. So he sets us free from the law of sin. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid that sin, you see. Paid for that sin, all of it, upon the cross of Calvary. So we don't have to pay for it because Jesus did. We accept the free gift of salvation and the free gift of forgiveness of all of our sin. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Spirit continues to lead us. He convicts us, by the way, when we sin, which draws us back to God. And we are to confess that sin. And again, if we confess it, God is faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, sin is the reason, always. Sin will cause a barrier, create a barrier between us and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that barrier prevents us from having fellowship with God. It prevents us from being filled by the Holy Spirit. You see, if rivers of living water are to come forth from us, which is the Holy Spirit, then rivers of living water must be flowing into us. When the rivers of living water are stopped from flowing into us, then there's no rivers of living water to flow from us, you see. The Bible commands us to be continually being filled. In fact, to explain it as fully as we can in English, it is this. We are to be in a state or a condition of being, present, continuing, of being continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. We are to be in a state or condition of continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God's plan. That's God's desire. And if we're continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, then those rivers of living water can continually be flowing from us. Now, when we sin, and John, 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10 make it clear, verses 8 and 10 especially, says, if we sin, we are a liar, and if we say we're without sin, we're calling God a liar. But then verse 9, which is sandwiched in between those, is the verse that tells us if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of the sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's to the believer. As we sin, and we can sin in different ways. Remember, we can commit a sin, telling a lie, stealing something. That's committing a sin. Or we can sin by omission. Not loving our neighbor as we should. Not loving God as we should. To him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin, James says. So we can sin by omission. And I have a feeling that the greatest amount of sin on the part of the believer is the sin of omission, failing to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Failing to love God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our might, with all that we are. Anytime we fail to do those things, those are the two commandments Jesus gave us in Matthew 22 when he was asked the question, what is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus answered and said, To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, with all that you are. And the second is likened to the first, he said, to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, he said, hinge the whole law and the prophets. In other words, these two commandments wrap up all the law and the prophets. To love God, to love your neighbor, to love our neighbor. Now, when we fail to love God with all our strength, all our might, all that we are, all of our mind, all that we are, when we fail to love our neighbor as ourselves, we are sinning. And when we are sinning, there is broken fellowship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All that has to happen in order for that fellowship to be restored, in order for the Holy Spirit to begin flowing in us again, is for us to confess that sin. Now, that's all we can do, and that's all we need to try to do, because to remove that sin from our lives is the job of God the Father. You see, again, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of the sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we're cleansed of all unrighteousness, now we can be filled with the righteousness of God, which is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can flow once again. The Holy Spirit can continue to fill us once again. We have fellowship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit restored. And we walk in that fellowship. That's God's plan and that purpose, led by the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our guide, our comforter. That's God's plan for us. That's God's purpose for us. And God then, while that is happening, is about the business of conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And that will be accomplished, the Bible tells us. God will complete that task of conforming us to the very image of Jesus Christ. Every true believer will ultimately be just like Jesus, for God the Father will see that that job is done and that is completed. And that's wonderful news, isn't it? That's just marvelous news to me today. Well, to continue with the job of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us life and gives us peace. He gives us assurance of who we are in Jesus Christ. He inspires the preacher. He gives the word to speak to the preacher. If the preacher is indeed allowing the Holy Spirit to inspire and to give the word through him, he is creating. He is creating within us, and he is creating as far as the universe is concerned. All the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we see the work of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit with God the Father. When he said, let us make man in our own image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives power to the believer. The Spirit empowers us to be instruments of God, to be spokespersons for God, to be witnesses for God. The Spirit will teach us what we need to say, give us what we need to say if we are walking in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to have His control in our lives. In other words, allowing Jesus to be Lord of our lives. The Spirit gives us the revelation then of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and 16, He will testify of me. The Spirit will testify of me. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself is a gift of God. And then the Holy Spirit gifts us. From the speaking of tongues, the least of the gifts, to prophesying, which is the greatest of the gifts. We can see those gifts in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. It says the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings and utterances that we cannot know, we cannot understand, and he sanctifies us. He is all the time sanctifying us, cleansing us, and growing us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, the Holy Spirit gives boldness to those who are timid. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness to stand up in the face of the adversary and to speak the truth of God and to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so grateful today that we have the Holy Spirit, that we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. That is the very power of God within us and the seal upon our lives as Christians. That's a good message, and that's a good word for us today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.